We've been discussing Baptist distinctives and just reminding us again, not just of what Baptists believe, but what the Bible teaches, that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is working, but that the Bible is our authority for life. The difference that he makes as we continue to walk in him, walk in his word, and let him make that difference in our lives. We talked about some background information over the last few weeks, just some of the basics about Baptists, and we talked about truths about denominations, the common beliefs that we share. The Baptist name is a label to help us identify as a group. Our goal is to pass on our Baptist heritage to our people, our church family, and to our teens. And yet, as adults, to be confident on why we are Baptists and unashamed to be Baptists. Loving, but unashamed of that truth. Baptists are not a denomination. Remember, we talked about that. What is the difference? What does a denomination have that we do not have? Okay, hierarchy. There is that upper leadership that all the churches are underneath, and pastors are moved from here to there like a big chess game. Okay, you're better over here, and we want you over here. Or missions money, we're going to send it all into one big pool, and you guys send it out and take care of it. It's hard to get real personal with your missionaries when you're not connected that way. But so many other things. But the Bible has given us autonomy, which we will get into. We are not a denomination. We don't have that central headship. Remember, we talked about how some Baptist churches have leaned too far to the left, where they almost don't identify as Baptist anymore, but they still have kept the label Baptist. Then we talked about some Baptist churches that have leaned too far to the right. And what did we say about those churches? What is a Baptist church who has leaned too far to the right? Amish idea. Yeah, where the pastor is, man, he is telling you what's up outside of church, and as we go through life, and you got to listen to him, and this is who you can marry, and man, you shouldn't do this outside of church. Well, we'll give biblical principles, but that is not my role, and man, I don't want it in your life to tell you what to do. I have a hard enough time telling my family and leading my own family instead of to try to tell you and dictate what you need to do in your life. But some have leaned too far to the right. Maybe you've had experience with that. I have, not personally, but I've been close to people who have experienced churches that have leaned too far to the right, and it's tough, difficult on their families even. Some churches that have the Baptist name on the sign, but only because they used to be Baptist. Some churches that don't have it on the sign, but really they should, because that is what they believe, Baptist doctrine. And so there are others. There are some in our area even that are not Baptist churches, but man, everything correspondingly. But again, we are Baptists, and we aren't planning on taking that off just to try to bring in a few more people or whatever it may be. This is a label that we're proud to have. Thank you. That was what I was needing. I appreciate that, Rob. Remember, we talked about the letters and the acrostic. The B stands for what? Biblical authority, biblical authority. The Bible is our sole authority for life. This really is one of the most important distinctives on the list. Why? Why would this be the most important distinctives? We've got biblical authority. A is what? Autonomy of the local church. The P is? Okay, priesthood of the believers. We've got T, two ordinances. We've got I, individual soul liberty. We've got that S, saved church membership. We've got that next T, two offices. The last S, separation. Why would the B, or the biblical authority, be the most important one out of all of those? Bill? It is God's word. Man, we can set all sorts of kind of standards and say, well, you need to have separation because I said so. Well, that's not a good enough reason. I mean, we could say, well, we have two offices in our church, pastor and deacons, because that's what we do. But that's not a good enough reason. It all goes back to the Bible. It's God's word. What God has said, and that's how we have to live. And so the Bible is important. And so the biblical authority is the most important Baptist distinctive on our list. The Bible governs our faith and practice. as individual believers and as a local church. What does that faith mean? Those words, faith and practice. Let's break those down a little bit. The Bible governs our faith and practice. What does that faith mean? What we believe. So it starts with salvation, but it continues on. The Bible truth, doctrine, which means teaching of the Bible. And so the Bible governs our faith, what we believe, and practice. What is our practice? Now, we're not talking a medical practice. We're not talking basketball practice. What is our practice? Our practice. The way we what? The way we live. I heard someone say it. The way we live. How I live from day to day. Not just on Sundays. Not just we got out of the vehicle at church and now we got to smile because we're at church and everybody has to know that we didn't have any issues coming to church. Not just those little times, but the important reality that it's how I live every day. So the Bible governs my faith and practice. Why do you and I need to have devotions every day? Does the Bible say, thou shalt have devotions every day, or thou shalt memorize the word of God every day? Well, in some ways, Joshua 1:8 says we need to meditate on the word of God every day. But there are definitely people who don't have a copy of Scripture. That doesn't justify us in saying, well, I don't need to read the Bible because there are some people who don't have it. Well, we need to meditate therein day and what? Night. Continually, it needs to be on our heart and mind. One of those ways is to read it and to memorize it. But that then affects the way we live and the reality that we have, the practice that we go through life, how I'm going to respond in life. Where do many people get some of their ideas for faith and practice? Where do some people get some of their ideas for faith and practice? What's that? Okay, self-help books. Man, there are tons of those. Maybe you've seen some. Maybe you've read some. People get their ideas for faith and practice through self-help books. What else? Okay, parents. Man, I'm going to listen to my parents, and I'm going to believe what my parents believe. Now then we also have a generation who say, my parents believe that, so I'm going to believe the opposite. And so they still get it from their parents, just the opposite, and how they're affected that way, and then how they live. What else? Media, right? Media is a huge aspect. Media includes so much. Used to be years ago when we'd think media, we would think TV, magazines, and newspapers, and books. Well, that's just one small source of media today. The reality of that, so many people get their ideas from that. How about church denominations? How about the Pope? Do people get their faith and practice from the Pope? Yeah, they do. The reality is we must go back to the Bible. You should not get your faith and practice from Pastor Josh. I should communicate to you from the Bible, but you shouldn't do something because Pastor Josh said so. Or this is what Pastor Josh believes, so I believe that too. Now, if I believe it, I hope you'll follow me as I follow Christ, but it's always got to be based on the Word of God, biblical authority. How about church denomination fathers? John Calvin. There's a big debate over Calvinism today. Maybe some of you are familiar with that. And I can give you multiple reasons why I'm not a Calvinist and why I won't believe that. Now, are there some good things John Calvin taught? There's sure some, but there were sure some that weren't too. And what about Martin Luther? Man, he taught a lot of things and he learned the reality of salvation by faith. But man, I'm not a Lutheran for a reason. And so many different things. So people get them from their church leaders or founders, some even from pastors. Like I said, there are some of those Baptist churches even who've leaned too far to the right, and it's what I say, and that's how you live your life. No, you don't. This isn't your month to go buy a new stove. You have to wait. The pastor has no right to tell you that kind of stuff, but some people live their life based on that. Popular opinion, well, everybody else is doing it, so it must be right. The millennials. Isn't that the philosophy of the millennials today? Well, if culture says it's good, it's good. It might be good to you. It might be good to me. Man, it doesn't matter. Feels good, I'm going to do it. Jesus often referred to the Bible as the what authority? Final authority. Jesus Christ did. Matthew 4, verses 3 through 11. Chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Luke 10, 25 through 28. Let's turn to the Matthew 4 passage. Matthew 4. Verses 3 through 11. We won't read the whole passage, but what is going on here in Matthew 4? Something. What's going on? The temptation. Now, did Jesus sin? No, but how did he respond to all of those temptations when he was tempted? He quoted the Bible. It is written. If you're there in Matthew chapter 4, you see some of that. Matthew 4, verse number 4. But he answered and said, "It is written." He quoted Scripture. That's the final authority. Not what I feel when I'm weak. Not my hunger pangs. Not what I may want. It's what the Bible says. And so that's how we can deal with temptation, but that's really how we should deal with our faith and practice. It's got to be from the Word of God. So, how often do you and I need the Word of God? All the time. So what if I didn't get a chance to read the Bible? I sure better meditate on it, because I need God to prepare me for the way I should live today. As a Baptist, and really, I'm unashamed to be called a fundamentalist. It's just because we go back to the fundamentals of what the Bible teaches. Not in a derogatory way. We should love others, known by our love, but going back to really what the Bible teaches. That's what Baptists believe. So there are many different scriptures, again, that teach us. Jesus said the Bible is the final authority for life. So if Jesus said it, doesn't that kind of settle it? It's not just quoted in Scripture. It's not just inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But Jesus himself said it when he came down to this earth. We see the Lutherans follow Martin Luther. Clergy must sign the Augsburg Confession before being ordained. Now, I was ordained in our previous church, but I didn't sign some confession of faith that our denomination holds to. Again, we are labeled as Baptists. But when I was ordained, man, I was questioned. I had a, I don't know, what was it, probably 12-plus page document I had to prepare for that, and that people could look through and ask me questions on, well, why do you believe the Bible teaches this? And most of them weren't trying to get me tripped up, but just trying to see, what do you really believe? And many of these were pastors. Some were deacons from our church over in Muskegon that were there just questioning and asking, so what do you believe? Why do you say this? The reality is we have to go back to the Bible, not just some church confession, as the Lutherans and others do. The Methodists, they follow John Wesley. The Presbyterians follow John Calvin, and they subscribe to the Westminster Confession of Faith. There are some good things in that, but there are some things that, well, we got to say, wait, what does the Bible say? The Reformers or the Reformed Church follow John Calvin and Zwingli. The Episcopalians follow the 39 articles written by bishops of the Anglican Church. There are so many different people who follow so many different things. What do we follow as Baptists? One more time. It's not our pastor. As much as I want to lead you to Christ, I must only lead you to Christ by the Word of God. So ultimately, we're following the Bible. Why do you carry your Bible and evaluate what I say? Yeah, because it's not me who has to tell you how to live. I have to present to you the Word of God. That's why I encourage you to open up your Bible, whether it's a digital copy or whether it's a print copy. The Bible is our final authority for life. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Let's turn there real quick. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Jesus said he would build his church. Verses 19 and 20 of 28 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe what? All things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." It all began with Jesus. And that's what we do. He really is our founder. He's our leader. He's not just our Savior. He is the one we follow. He's not just another good man. Baptists trust the Bible is the only rule for our faith and practice. The only one. Not just one of them. Some say that the Bible is good and it's important, but it's only one of many. Anybody think of a group that claims to be a church that claims this, that the Bible is good, but man, it's not everything we need? Okay, Jehovah's Witnesses, they have the Bible in their own translation, and man, there definitely are some problems in their translation. They say Jesus is a son of God. And there's another one I'm specifically thinking of, the Latter-day Saints or the Mormon Church. What do they have? They have the Book of Mormon. If you look on Amazon, you can see they've got a lot of different ideas in a quad of books. You've got the Book of Mormon. You've got the King James Version of the Bible. I always want to get you started on that because the foundation in America has been the Bible. Well, yeah, we need the Bible. So if they can start you there and say, but that's not enough. You need this and we need that and so many other things. But the Bible is our only rule for our faith and practice. The Muslim Quran, isn't that for some people? Yeah. But wait a second. They say, well, we all go back to the same forefathers. Well, no, we really don't. Yeah, they look back in their history, but the reality is they don't accept Jesus Christ as the prophesied one who Wednesday evening, even we looked at that, I believe, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that he was prophesied the beginning of the prophecy of Jesus Christ. There are many books that we can trust. What are some books we can trust today? Of course, and ultimately, the Bible. But are there other books we can trust today? How about a math book? I guess depending on where you get it, right? But most math, you can only, 2 plus 2 only equals 4. So math books. What about secular science books, though? Can we trust those? Not wholly. Got to be cautious. Because the Bible tells us the reality. Car owner's manuals. Generally, we can trust those, right? Man, you might have gotten into a project and opened the Haynes manual or something, and what is that? That's not my vehicle or whatever. There can be typos and stuff like that. But the reality is, sometimes recipe books are wrong, right? You ever done a recipe, and it's like, what were they thinking? Right? You know what I'm talking about? And or maybe, again, like the secular science books or sometimes secular school history books. Changing the history of America. We've got to cover up some of this stuff. We don't want to show it. Or we've got to make it sound more like it was this way. Though some of those things happen. But we go back to, again, the Bible is our only rule for faith and practice. Where did it come from? Did a bunch of men just write it down? God did. It was inspired by God. The Bible is divinely inspired or God-breathed. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. You go outside and you breathe, what do you see? You see the vapors of your air or whatever you want to say, right? When I look at the Bible, I see the very Word of God. In fact, we often refer to it as the written Word of God. This is God-breathed, came out from Him. The men that God used, holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Wasn't just something they came up with. Men from across many years, many backgrounds, and it's all unified. Why? Because God did it. We look at some of these religious leaders who have written their holy books for their religious group. And even within that holy book, they don't even always agree with themselves. But the Bible, with multiple human authors, agrees because it is divinely inspired by God. 2 Peter 1:20, again, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy or truth came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God divinely used men. Teens, you can believe the Bible. And when your friends question you, and if you haven't had them yet, you'll have people someday question you. How do you know the Bible's true? It really is. And we can go back, we can go through so many different arguments and realities of that. And if you've got questions or you want some other study helps to say, well, how do I know? Again, we call that apologetics. Knowing, not to apologize for what I believe like we think today, but how to defend what I believe. The Bible is the true Word of God. Got books that you can study and add on to that if you'd like to. God put the words into the minds of the inspired writers. Did everything the Apostle Paul write, is it what we would say inscripturated or put into the Scriptures? No. Do you know that? Man, there was another letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. How many letters were inspired by God? 2. 1 and 2 Corinthians, right? Now the reality is, does that mean the other one didn't really matter? Not at all. Because if the other one we say, well, that didn't really matter, it wasn't inscripturated, well, then the reality is everything your pastor says doesn't really matter either because I'm not inspired by God. but we present the truths of God's word and we open it up. And that's what Paul did even in that other letter to the church at Corinth. But there was certain ones that were inspired by God for God's church, for our what? Faith and practice. The Bible is our final authority. The Bible is a history book, but it is a complete authority on everything it touches. It is a history book. In fact, Wednesday evening, and if you're in the auditorium, what have I had you do? We've started doing something. Remember Genesis? Okay, there we go. You got it. Genesis, beginnings, Exodus, redemption. We're learning some key words that go along with these books. We went through the first five, and those are called the law or the Pentateuch. And then we just started this last Wednesday getting into the next section. We call that section history, that genre. But the Bible really is a history book. Even though the Pentateuch, we learn a lot of history in the book of Genesis, don't we? The Bible is a history book, but everything that it touches is accurate. When it talks about science, when it talks about historical events, when it talks about dates, the Bible is accurate. When it speaks of art and music, when it speaks of humanities, sciences, behavioral studies, it's true. Well, man, we got to go here and get our help from there because the Word of God can't help me with that. I fully disagree with that. God's Word has the answers for everything of life. Now, sometimes do we apply some practical principles based on Scripture passages? Of course. But all the answers we need for life are found here. It's huge. We need the Word of God. And when the Bible says it, it does affect and it does make a difference. Think of the truth. Again, I pointed this out the other day. When the reality comes to life about how I'm going to live. When God had Adam and Eve, they were in the garden. He communicated with them. Then they sinned. What did Adam and Eve do? Wednesday we talked about this. They hid. They ran from God. And God called them, "Where are you?" Did God know where they were, teens? Well, of course he did. Why would he ask them then instead of going and say, "What did you do?" Why? Okay, so he wanted to see if they'd answer him. There's that test aspect because God wants us to love him. He didn't make us robots. But it's interesting as we look at that, we can also draw out other principles. Man, we often see in life that accusations harden the heart, where questions prick the conscience. "Hey, where are you? Who told you you were naked?" he asked them. He's asking them, even though he knew everything. He's pricking their conscience. Are those ways that we can help talk to people? Well, yeah. And so those make differences in our lives. So the areas of humanities and behavioral studies, the Bible is totally accurate and totally correct. We can trust it. 2 Timothy 3:16, again, all Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. And teens, if no other verse for this biblical authority, I want to encourage you to memorize this one. This is it. The Bible is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That is our faith and practice in four different specific areas. So the Bible is profitable. Doctrine, which it means it has the authority to tell us what is right. What is right? If it tells us to do certain things, we know it's right. Reproof means it has the authority to tell us what is not right. Well, the Bible says, "Hey, don't do this. That's not right." Murder. "Thou shalt not kill." So should we not kill? Well, yeah. That affects every aspect of life. Now, again, there's a point of capital punishment. I think the Bible makes it very plain and clear that he's given government the authority to punish, which is a tough thing to grasp when you're going through those. But do you and I have the right to kill, whether it's abortion or whether it's any other way? Well, no. Life is precious. We see correction, which means it has the authority to tell us how to get right. Aren't you thankful that it's not just God expects us to hold to some standard we can't do, but he tells us how to get right? And then instruction in righteousness, which really means it has the authority to tell us how to stay right. That covers my faith and practice. The Bible is incorruptible. It doesn't perish. It won't deteriorate over time. A lot of things do. You know, I was thinking about books. How many of you love books? Okay, some of you love them. How many of you prefer your books being printed over digital, whether it's on a tablet or a phone? Man, you love your printed books. How many of you prefer your books digital in a digital format? Okay, some of you, man, I love my digital books. There's about three of us. I love my digital books. And yet I enjoy print books, but I do enjoy digital books. But I was thinking about it the other day. How many books have been written 200 years ago even that have just kind of fallen by the wayside and nobody knows a thing about? Even those authors' family members, their heritage, those their grandkids and great-grandkids don't know a thing about the books they wrote. Books come and go. They deteriorate, they perish. But the Bible never does. God has promised His word will stand forever. This is the authority for life. And we go back to that point. 1 Peter 1:23-25, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Bible will last forever. Continues on, the grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. The Bible will endure forever into eternity. It's not just enough for what we need here on planet Earth. The word of God will go forever. God will not destroy His word. The Bible remains relevant for all ages, younger and older people. Right? We think of kids. Children, what? I heard someone say it. Obey your parents. And yet, it's good for older people, dealing with wisdom and so many other aspects of life. It's good for all times. Well, the Bible was relevant 50 years ago in America, but you know, it just isn't relevant anymore. Well, of course it is. That's why we preach and teach the Word of God. And for all places, to teach all what in the Great Commission? Nations. Now, when we send missionaries, we're getting ready for our missions conference. When these missionaries go to Uganda or to Taiwan, they go to preach the Bible. They don't go to plant American churches. But they do go to teach the Word of God. And by the way, if they accurately teach the Word of God, what kind of churches will they plant over there? Baptist churches. Because it's not just what we believe in America. It's what the Word of God teaches. And so that's why even the missionaries that we have come in, man, I have long conversations. One of them, we were on the phone for an hour and a half one day. Because I don't want to bring some missionary in that he doesn't believe what the Bible teaches in so many areas. Again, we don't all agree on everything. But again, on the basic core beliefs, we've got to agree as we go and we send out people. So we know the Word of God is true. Matthew 28:19-20 tell us to go. Various churches, and we'll stop right here, various churches approach the authority of the Bible in different ways. We must always approach the Bible as it is our final what? Authority. So let's live that way, Kim. Oh, perish and deteriorate. You're welcome. It does not perish. It does not deteriorate. Your copy might. I was listening to a preacher the other day. He still preaches out of his Bible he had when he was in college. I don't know how his Bible lasted that long. But the copies might deteriorate, but the Word of God never will.